Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, professors, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight featuring commentary by Nick Kacharubas, Michael Puente, Rosanna Polito, and Raul Raimundo. Our program tonight coming to our home base at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago, where our toll-free lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. If you'd like to email us a comment, it's brucedumont@museum.tv. If you'd like to tweet us a comment, it's @Dumo. And if you'd like to join us on the World Wide Web, it's beyondthebeltway.com. Where you can hear not only this and past broadcasts if you miss them each and every Sunday night. Well, for the next 2 hours, we have a lot to talk about. First hour is going to be focusing primarily on the president's immigration speech the other evening when he, by executive order, said to 5 million illegal immigrants in this country, you can stay. We're going to keep an eye on you, but you're going to be okay. Some rules and regulations you got to follow. It obviously is the response to something that the president said he was going to do for quite some time. Initially, he was going to do it before the election. Democrats running for the Senate said maybe you shouldn't do that, so he didn't. Saved it until after the election. And so we'll talk about the political ramifications and the practical ramifications of what the president called for in his speech to the nation the other evening. Raul Raimundo joins us. He supports the president's immigration action. He's with the Resurrection Project. And, Raul, let me begin by asking you, what is the immediate impact of this action on society and on those 5 million illegal Mexicans that are in the country at the moment?
Well, first of all, it's not just Mexicans who are going to benefit from this executive order. It is a wide range of immigrants from all over that are going to benefit from this executive order. Immediately, it is going to bring up to 5 million immigrants that are unauthorized in this country out of the shadows to contribute to this economy, as they have been already, and create an environment for families to continue to be together, which is, I think, part of our American values.
Rosanna Polito joins us. She opposes the actions of the president. What do you think the immediate impact is going to be, Rosanna?
Well, Americans who cannot pay their mortgages and are struggling to make ends meet are going to find it even harder. Our military, who just received pink slips out in the field, are going to come home, and they are going to have to compete with 5 million illegal aliens now for the jobs that are here, the few jobs that are here. More suffering for American worker.
Okay, we'll respond to that. Also, Michael Puente joins us, reporter for WBEZ Radio. You cover politics. You cover the immigration issue. What's going to be the immediate impact? Again, you deal with the Mexican community and all communities, certainly in Northwest Indiana.
Well, certainly it's going to impact the lives of 5 million people right off the bat forever. I mean, this is going to change your life. Now, whether all of them come out and apply for what's going to be provided, they got to be here for at least 5 years. They can't have a criminal record. It's going to change their life. But there's so many details in what's being proposed. It still remains to be seen how this is going to play out. But at the same time, it's certainly going to continue to cause the political debate to continue on immigration.
Nick Kacharubas joins us of DePaul University. Nick, what's your response to and the immediate impact, both politically and otherwise?
Well, I look at it from the political perspective and say that the president has definitely shot a missile over the bow of the Republican, soon-to-be Republican-controlled Senate, and I think that this is going to play into what we see Congress doing. He's trying to move the issue forward, and I think he took a bold move to do that, but I think there's going to be political repercussions from that.
Okay. Where do you think they're going to manifest themselves? Again, we have several issues tonight. We have the public policy issue. We have the political issues. Was it smart politics? What does it do? And we generally talk about that. But let's first of all kind of talk about some of the practical public policy issues. And, Raul, let me ask you, and by the way, I should just tell you that for the last several years on this program, although generally speaking I think the idea of welcoming immigrants to the country is a good idea, to me, even the bill that passed the Senate that everyone has said is absolutely what – they would hope the House would do. It requires people who came to the United States illegally to basically, as you say, come out of the shadows, put their name on a list, identify themselves to the government, be willing to pay taxes, be willing to go to the back of the line. That's an awful lot to ask. And are you optimistic that even with all the caveats that are in the president's order, do you really think that a lot of the 5 million really are going to come out of the shadows?
Absolutely. First of all, we're in this predicament because of our broken immigration laws. I work with a lot of community organizations in the immigrant community, both in the city and state and nationally, and they are ready. They have been, in a sense, for years, living under the shadows, living in fear, children in fear of their parents not returning from work because they, at any point it could be deported, if you will, or detained by ICE and so forth. So people are ready to pay their taxes. People are ready to learn English. People are ready to contribute and become, in a sense, legal permanent residents and eventually naturalized citizens as I become.
Do they acknowledge, and I realize I'm asking you a question about 5 million people, of which you know a large number, maybe more than I do, but certainly not close to 5 million. I mean, is there fear that if they come out of the shadows, they are going to be on some list? They're never going to be able to go back to where they are right now.
Yet they're willing to do so because they are tired of living in fear, living in the shadows, living, in fact, a double life. And immigrants here who are contributing to this country, to their community, they're part of the social fabric. Their children in schools, they're attending our daily faith institutions. They want to be part of this country as anybody else.
Rosanna, do you believe that they will follow all of the new dictates suggested by the president?
I'd like to start speaking about reality. Nobody is in the shadows. They're at the White House protesting. They're in the streets of Chicago marching. Who's in the shadows? We're spending $5 billion a year in Illinois on free services for illegal aliens. Nobody is in the shadows, so I want to get that out on the table. What about fake documents? Are they going to have to pay a price for obtaining fake documents, fake Social Security cards, and all the rest? I don't believe it. We have seen no willingness of this government. And I'm not talking about the Democrats. I'm talking about both the Democrats and Republicans. If you want to be an American, you live like an American. You pay your dues. You pay penalties. You do jail time. If I was to have fake IDs, I bet you I'd be in jail, in a minute.
But Raul,
they're not going to have to pay those penalties.
But Raul is saying, and certainly the president suggested, that taxes have to be paid. There are certain things that have to be done. They have to go to the back of the line. And most importantly, and this is where I want to get Mike involved and Nick involved, a key part of this is they have to pass criminal background checks.
Right.
Now, who's going to do it? How much is it going to cost? And how do we know that when these people come in, they're going to give straight answers to these questions? That's the question to you. We've got to pause for a break. I want to get reaction to that. 1-800-723-8289. 1-800-723-8289 from coast to coast and border to border. Tonight, talking about the president's executive decision on illegal immigration. Back shortly.
Everyone loves vacationing in Florida. So why not experience it as it was meant to be? Where turquoise Gulf waters meet tranquil island beaches. Feel the powder-soft sand between your toes. Revel in a glorious island sunset. Shop the boutiques of a seaside village. Ride horseback along tranquil waters. This is Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key. Real, authentic Florida, where you can discover an intimate downtown and sip cappuccino at a sidewalk cafe. Catch fresh fish for dinner. Even tour a working winery. Just minutes from all the rest Florida has to offer. Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key. Plan your visit online at BradentonGulfIslands.com. That's BradentonGulfIslands.com.
From Arlington, Texas to Arlington Heights, Illinois, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Michael Puente from WBEZ Radio is here, and I asked the question before the break because the president is asking for background checks for these 5 million. Who's going to do it? How long is it going to take? And how are we going to believe the answers they give?
Well, that's a good question, Bruce, and I think those are all things that are still being hashed out. Is it going to be the person who's applying for this background check? That usually how it happens when you go to apply for a job. You have to pay for the background check. I assume that's what's going to happen here. But at the same time, before we went on the break, Roseanne was talking about, you know, looking at the reality, very impassioned speech. And I think, you know, her opposition to this is expressed by a lot of millions of Americans out there. But at the same time, the reality is these people have been waiting. There's really no way to kind of get right with the system other than going back. I guess that is an option. But at the same time, they're here. They're working jobs. They're paying taxes. And at the same time, they need an avenue to try to get right with the United States.
When unemployment is at 4%, we'll talk about it. Many millions of Americans don't have jobs. This is not the time to do this.
First of all, let
America get on her feet. And this is America, and jobs go to Americans.
Wow. Yes, let me just address some of the facts. Fact one, Rosanna, when unauthorized immigrants come out of the shadows and apply for legal status, they will be paying for this themselves. It is not costing Immigration Department resources because immigrants are paying for those fees and they're willing to do so.
But they're going to get cards to work, correct?
They're going to get temporary work. They're
going
to get temporary legal status to work. And all studies indicate that jobs will be created. The economy will benefit. In fact, immigrants right now, according to Stephen Gross, the chief actuary officer from the Social Media Administration, has documented that they have paid over $100 billion in payroll taxes and other taxes. They are not going to recover. So it is not what you're saying that immigrants do not pay taxes.
I question whether under the executive action that people will come out of the shadows. Under the law that was proposed, there was a clear pathway to citizenship that's being held up in the House. Under this executive action, that isn't the case. They get a three-year ability to work, and another president can undo that. Congress, we don't know what Congress is going to do. I question whether under the executive action as many people will come out of the shadows.
Under DACA, which already is a model for this program, hundreds of thousands have already come out, paid. They're for getting legal status. The dreamers, if you will, are contributing to the society in more ways than one. So they have done it. Their parents want to do it, and the parents who are have U.S.-born children here are going to be one of those eligible immigrants that will benefit.
Right, and they are going to be rewarded for their crime.
They are willing to pay, just as their children are being rewarded for crime.
What is the penalty, though? There was a penalty under that Senate bill. There's nothing under this executive
action. We agree. I mean, if we really want to get down to that, then the House Republicans have a solution. Pass legislation in Congress. That's it. And then we can go back to the things that you're talking about. And there's nothing stopping right now the House Republicans from passing a bill just like the Senate did so we can have comprehensive immigration reform. And then guess what? Executive order disappears.
The voters don't want it.
It is not true.
That creates a constitutional question, though, and that's exactly what I think this issue is, a broader thing, is does the president have the authority to create a new, brand new program by issuing these job visas? That's where the House, I think, has an issue.
And that will probably end up in the court.
That may
end up in the Supreme Court quicker than...
Because it's not just about Obama. It's about whether we expend...
It's about the precedent for future presidents.
Absolutely.
And past presidents have acted on executive orders on immigration and has stand the test of law.
Clarifying laws, not creating new law.
But they have issued executive orders. And again, this executive order can disappear right now if the House of Representatives passes a bill.
I'm concerned again, which is where I started the discussion. I'm concerned about whether or not this administration has carefully thought out all the ramifications of the administrative aspect, including who's, as I asked a few moments ago, who's going to do all the background checks? What happens if someone is found? Then they will be deported. That's my understanding. How are you going to sort out those who are the gangbangers, who are the bad guys that we want to deport? It seems to me that we're putting a great deal of trust in the ability of government, not just this administration, but government, to enforce and to administrate this executive order by the president. And given the recent track record of rolling out things for this administration and government in general, but specifically, this administration has not proven they know how to roll out things very effectively.
I disagree. The DACA program has been functioning quite well. It's been rolled out quite well. It has identified folks that should not be here because of criminal records or because of other situations. They have not been able to apply and won't because they have not passed a background check.
I would agree, primarily Obamacare and some other government programs.
Listen, in the last 3 months, the Obama administration released 3,600 criminals that should have been deported.
We believe that if you're a criminal and you are not contributing to society, you shouldn't be here.
It's not happening.
I want to challenge you a little bit because you're saying that the five men, first of all, several hundred thousand of them are children. Some of them are adults. Most of them are adults, at least in the 5 million focus that we're talking about. And there's the figure is 11 million. I know you think the figure is much
40.
Higher than that.
40
you
million.
Much higher.
Absolutely.
But we're talking about 5 million at this particular moment. The question is, or you're suggesting that if they were not allowed in, that suddenly employment in the country would rise.
No,
I'm challenging the point as to whether or not Mexicans, illegal or illegal, either one, whether or not they are doing work that other Americans don't want to do.
And I say that is an insult to my fellow Americans. I'm an American. You're an American. Is there a job you won't do? I don't take that argument. Or for the wages, for the low wages that are going to be paid. Listen, the employers have an unquenchable thirst for cheap labor. That's the problem.
Okay, now it seems to me that what you're getting into is you're sort of setting up or defining the split that exists within the Republican Party. Let me just finish my point. Because there are a lot of people in the Republican Party, and I don't even want to say exclusive Republican Party, the business class in this country, many of them Republicans, some of them Democrats, they like the way it is. They like people in the shadows. They like to be able to set lower wages. But in many cases, the wages that we're talking about are not what average people would say are low wages. If you're getting $15 or $20 or more an hour working a construction job, that's not considered low wages.
Correct.
And there are Americans, and you know there are Americans, who would not do that work because they prefer to get a check for nothing than having to earn money. Would you acknowledge that?
Not all.
Well, of course not.
No, some not all. I mean, there's part of people, I don't care what race you are, there are always those people who don't want to work. But for the most part, when you have unemployment the way it is right now, you cannot open the floodgates of immigration. Let's take care of ourselves first.
I also want to stop
saying that they're in the shadows because they are not the shadows.
You've made the point, but now Raul, and then we're going to get everybody else, and then we're going to take some calls.
Nobody's opening the floodgates. They are here. In fact, the border for the last several years, there's been net zero migration coming to this
country.
That's
incorrect, sir. I was just there in September.
All studies show that.
It's not what the sheriff said.
All studies show that. Now, the point here is that when these immigrants are contributing and they are registered and they are paying their taxes, it is going to increase the GDP of this economy, and we're going to create more jobs. And, you know, the premise here is that we're talking about mostly unskilled labor. There's a lot of businesses that want high-skilled labor, and many of them will benefit from this executive order to create more jobs for all Americans.
We have lots of callers on the line. Let's go to John in Markham, listening to us on WLS Radio, the radio home of Steve Dahl. Go ahead.
Yeah, to assume that all the illegal immigrants are Hispanic is racist and ignorant. And to assume they are all low skilled is I don't know, undignified, uninformed. I'm a truck driver. You start rolling in people from Russia, Lithuania, Poland, the Ukraine, and you take my average wage from 75 or 80 grand a year and drop it to 60 grand a year, that's an issue. Now let me go back to the point that, and God bless your screen caller, because I tried to explain to him, I don't want to be rude. If the president in his book said that letting immigrants into the country and letting them establish hurts the minority communities that are here, why can't anyone ask the president how he's changed his mind that letting people in to do jobs, and essentially blue-collar jobs, but increasingly white-collar jobs, how is letting them in now when things are slightly better, not perfect, how has his position changed? What changed it? He said in his last election campaign, I'm not an emperor, I'm not a king, I can't dissolve parliament. You know, we have to go through Congress for immigration reform.
Well,
how has it all changed?
I want Nick to respond to that. We do have to break because, again, one of the things that all the networks have played, they've all played the speeches of the president where he has said exactly what you've said. I don't think the president had a very good answer for that question when he was with George Stephanopoulos today. We'll let Nick tackle that. We'll take your call and talk more. 1-800-723-8029. We've touched a nerve. As you can imagine, people want to talk about this issue, and we will do that when we roll on from Chicago. I'm Bruce Dumont.
Are you headed to Los Angeles? Looking for the ideal place for you and your family to relax and enjoy yourselves? A place that combines a Four Diamond Hotel experience with a convenient location? It's the Hilton Los Angeles Universal City, just steps away from Universal Studios Hollywood, CityWalk, and NBC Studios. Just a short ride to the Hollywood Walk of Fame, TCL Chinese Theater, Warner Brothers, and other popular attractions. Enjoy spacious rooms offering breathtaking views and a world-class Las Vegas-style seafood and prime rib buffet every weekend and holidays. Share family fun and enjoy the oasis of the palm tree-lined pool and whirlpool. Relax in your own private poolside cabana with a cocktail or snack at your fingertips. Book your reservation today at HiltonUniversal.com or call 1-800-774-1500. The Hilton, Los Angeles, Universal City at HiltonUniversal.com. They let you be the star in Hollywood.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago, and we're going to introduce our guests right now. We'll let them introduce themselves, and we'll start with Raul Raimondo. Raul, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Bruce, for having me here. I am the co-founder and CEO of the Resurrection Project, which is a community-based organization working in the west side of Chicago. We do all sorts of comprehensive economic development, from building affordable housing, community facilities, and doing a lot of work around financial literacy and obviously around immigration. This is very important to our community, and we support the president's action.
And you were born in Mexico?
Yes, I am an immigrant.
Tell us about your flight to Chicago.
I came to this country when I was 7 years old. This is the country that I've known and I love. I became a naturalized U.S. citizen when I was 18 and have been doing my work here ever since.
When you and I assume you came with your parents.
Yes.
Did they do it legally?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
My parents and I came to this country legally. At that time, it was a different process, much more easier to become a legal resident coming into this country than it is today.
Would you, let me just ask the question this way. What I have heard, and as it has sometimes shown up in voting, I go back several years ago when California cracked down on illegal immigration. Many Hispanics who lived in California, they were part of the majority. They wanted the crackdown. As someone whose parents came here legally, and you say things were a little bit different, but you did it the right way when you came here and your parents came here. That generation of Mexicans, Americans, are they resentful of the way the new generation is coming to this country? And are they, in many cases, maybe as vociferous as maybe Rosanna is about the way it's being done now?
I don't believe so. What you have is multiple generations where you have, in a sense, separated families, where you have U.S.-born children, sometimes undocumented parents, sometimes an undocumented sibling, sometimes a legal permanent residence, exist in any one of these families. All of them are united as a family and want to contribute as a family. So I don't think there's resentment from the older generation about the existing immigrants that are undocumented right now.
Nick Katsaroubas, tell us who you are.
Well, thank you for having me again, Bruce. I'm a visiting assistant professor at DePaul University School of Public Service, where I've been teaching for the last 3 years. And I'm also city clerk of a small city in Crystal Lake, Illinois, out in McHenry County.
Michael Puente joins us.
Yeah, thank you, Bruce, for having me on again. I've been a journalist for about 20 years, the last nine with WBEZ Radio, born and raised in the Hoosier State, actually in northwest Indiana, so still kind of part of the Chicagoland area where I cover politics, immigration issues, the whole gamut, and part-time college instructor and a writer, too. I just came out with a book on the late Jenny Rivera.
Very good. And Rosanna Polito.
Hi, my name's Rosanna Polito, and an activist, and I was one of the original Minutemen on the Arizona-Mexico border in 2005. I've testified before Congress with You Don't Speak For Me, American Hispanic Speaking Out on Illegal Immigration, and it's my passion.
And you are Hispanic.
I am.
And I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Raul. People who came here legally in the past, how are they viewing the way that issue is being handled right now, in your view?
Again, with being in the group of American Hispanics speaking out on illegal immigration, we have many who came here legally and are very upset at what's going on now. They feel that it cheapens what they did. They were proud and to go through the hoops, whatever they were, and to do what they needed to do. And they are very vocal, but nobody wants to hear from them because that's not the message they want to put out.
Are they unusually concerned about that they're the ones that might lose some jobs?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's even...
Why do they think that they would lose jobs?
Because employers can now undercut wages. And just like what I saw coming up through the Minutemen, I would meet union members that would say, I know right now I am teaching my job to an illegal alien because they're going to let me go. I know it. And that's what I've seen over the years.
Raul, what's your answer to the same question?
Again, the facts are union labor supports this because they believe it's going to increase wages by registering all of these and membership by registering all of these individuals that are unauthorized right now to come to legally work. It's going to increase wages. And so it's not false,
sir.
And it's not a fact that it will reduce wages.
But again,
it has.
If one would argue that if there is a Hispanic who's been here working for many, many years, they're probably making a fairly decent wage.
And they'll continue to. Okay. Nothing. The competition for that individual is not that job.
But if a younger Hispanic comes, are they not likely to maybe take their job?
It's a generational thing.
It isn't just.
First of all, let's get something clear here. We are not. This is the executive order, and what we're discussing here is not about opening the border and bringing people here.
Right. It's about people
that are here. It's registering people that are here so they can contribute and legally work
for five years. And supporting those that came here recently.
And deporting those criminals that are not contributing. So it's not, as your caller previously mentioned, it is not about bringing immigrants to this country. It's not a Mexican immigrant issue. We have immigrants from all over the world.
We just happen to have Mexico at one of our borders, so the majority are Mexicans.
From all over the world that are in the same situation, wanting to contribute, wanting to, who are here, who will benefit from that executive order, from Irish to Polish.
That's great. They can contribute when more Americans are working and our unemployment is down to 4%. Then they can contribute.
By moving the executive order forward, there will be more jobs for Americans to continue to work.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to move on. We have disagreement on that. Let's go to Bryant, listening to us on KTSM in El Paso, Texas. Go ahead, Bryant.
Yes, I'm so proud of the lady. She's making such an eloquent case. I live in a town here. I can throw a rock and hit the Rio Grande. It's about 3,000. It's 50% illegal alien. And the people are not going to come out of the shadows, Bruce. They're comfortable where they are. They're just not going to come out.
Well, again, that I guess time will tell. We will look at the impact of this, and people are going to be looking at this impact for quite some time. I guess from a political standpoint, again, those that are covered by this executive order, they're not citizens of the United States. There's no guaranteed pathway to citizenship. There's no reason to believe they're going to go to the polls and vote. But a political question to you is, part of the president's timing on this, he didn't want to do it before the election because he thought Democrats were going to lose some seats. They lost some seats. He responded and he ticked off a lot of Hispanic leaders, including Luis Gutierrez of Illinois, because he's slow-walked this thing. He said when he ran for president initially this was a high priority of him, but for him, but it's 6 years into the administration. He had a House, he had a Senate. If this was really important to him, he could have passed this within the first year he was there. So one could legitimately question the veracity of some of the president's concern for this issue.
Well, at that time,
but what does it do? What does it do for the future? Does it solidify further Hispanic support of the Democratic Party?
Oh yes.
Okay. You say yes. I want to get Nick. I want to get Nick's response, and you agree that maybe that's what it's all about.
Well, I think it's twofold. I think obviously it certainly does solidify some support for the Democratic base if the president is successful. But I think
who did not turn out in the recent election, one of the reasons why at least a couple of senators in Colorado and a couple of other states lost.
Well, and potentially very soon Mary Landrieu in Louisiana. But I think the other thing is it because of the shift in Congress and the different shift is it puts the president in a different leadership position to say, okay, now there's some issues I want to take across the bow, and it will force dialogue. He was very careful in that message to say, here are the things I'm going to do by executive order, and I want Congress. And he didn't go as far as to create a path. He was very careful about what he said, and this will force dialogue in Congress.
He warned those that just came here, and he said those that this covers have to do a few things, which, again, as I've stated, I don't think a lot of them will do, but Raul thinks they will. And that's come out of the shadows, put their name on a list, pay their taxes, go to the back of the line, and do all those things.
Exactly. And he's I think the president politically has basically stepped up to Congress saying, okay, you want to do something different? Now show what you can do. And this will create a somewhat of a dialogue position for other issues for him.
Michael.
Bruce, you bring up an interesting point where you think a number of these folks are not going to pay the fines and go to the back of the line. I think that is more likely. What's not being said, and this is probably going to aid Roseanne's argument here, but the one thing that I think will be more unlikely to happen are those millions, those 5 to 6 million that aren't covered on this, or who haven't been here for 5 years. They're not likely to leave now. They're not probably going to just say, get up, you know, I don't qualify, I'm going to leave. So that is an issue that the government and President Obama, who has been known, though, as the deporter in chief, he has been deporting undocumented immigrants at record amounts. That's going to be an issue that he's going to have to deal with.
Does it send, Raul, does just the point Mike made, does that send a false signal or a false hope to those who were here illegally, those that have come in the last 5 years, those that came in the recent wave earlier this year? Does it send a false signal to them that, you know, by the way, if we wait long enough, maybe the next president will do something for us and we don't really have to leave? That's the question. We have to pause. 1-800-723-8029. Lots of calls tonight. We'll hear them all when we continue from Chicago.
Yeah.
Everyone loves vacationing in Florida. So why not experience it as it was meant to be? Where turquoise Gulf waters meet tranquil island beaches. Feel the powder-soft sand between your toes. Revel in a glorious island sunset. Shop the boutiques of a seaside village. Ride horseback along tranquil waters. This is Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key. Real, authentic Florida, where you can discover an intimate downtown and sip cappuccino at a sidewalk cafe. Catch fresh fish for dinner. Even tour a working winery. Just minutes from all the rest Florida has to offer. Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key. Plan your visit online at BradentonGulfIslands.com. That's BradentonGulfIslands.com.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Raul, you were going to make a point to ask a question I had asked before the break.
First of all, we agree in the immigrant community that the president should have acted sooner on this executive order. He did not, but we're glad that he did in the end. We are working very hard in our, throughout the community to make sure that as many of eligible undocumented individuals that qualify under the executive order should be coming out and applying. Now, another point.
You acknowledge that in the first 6 years of the Obama administration, there was a lot of pain and suffering that need not have happened.
Let's remember the facts. What was happening in this country when the president took office? We had a catastrophe in the economy. We had tremendous challenges and problems. I would argue that if the president would have taken up immigration reform on those first months or first years in office, it would have been criticized even by more people. So he did not take it up. He is now doing so, and he's putting the pressure on Republicans to act in the House to pass comprehensive immigration reform.
I would say this is a tough issue, for both parties. Nobody's acted. And I don't think most Americans – I don't think it's reasonable to accept the fact that we have enough manpower or money to just round people up and send them back. These are contributing citizens. And so I think the idea of moving them into a status where they can pay taxes, the president should be applauded for moving in that direction. Republican, Democrat, Obama, Bush, whoever it was, that's a good step. And I don't think that's the problem here. It's the question of the mechanism of doing so and the repercussions and the rolling out of.
But you also understand why so many people are upset because of the question I asked earlier, because of whether or not the full administration, the way in which this is handled, whether it's going to be handled properly, whether there's still going to be enforcement. If there's really criminals, are they going to be deported? Are they going to be deported quickly? But they can also look. It isn't just looking at President Obama. They can look at the Reagan administration. The Reagan administration. Simpson Mazzoli didn't think.
There'll still be deportations going on. This administration has deported more immigrants
than
any other administration in the past. They'll continue to do so, particularly those that don't belong here, who are criminals. So we expect that deportations to happen. But those that are living here lawfully, that are contributing, that are paying taxes, that are going to make this their communities better, safer,
but I think that's
should
the
be
issue.
Registered, should
is,
come out
is,
and be
And I think that's
authorized.
The sticking point with the public is how the folks got here. Is they're still getting something for doing something illegal? And I think that's what most Americans have the most trouble with saying.
The president has not specifically said
– he talked about initially that the congressional package had a penalty for that. His executive action doesn't address that, and I think that's the issue with the politics.
I don't want our audience to think of the image that immigrants that came here just came in and scaled a wall and crossed the border. The fact is that the majority of undocumented individuals living in this country came here legally and overstayed their visa. So this issue about or this image about immigrants, undocumented immigrants, just getting on the ladder and getting crossing or getting over the wall is just a false argument.
And I don't have that impression that they could. Even so, overstay. If any of us were to do that in another country, we had the possibility of facing some sort of criminal repercussion.
Let's go to Joanne in Schaumburg listening to us on WLS. Go ahead, Joanne.
Good to talk to you tonight, but boy, it's an odd issue. I have a couple things I'd like to say, but first I'd like to correct your guest who is making misstatements. The 60% of them are coming from Mexico, 40% are coming on visas. That's released by the government. The CBO has put in a report out in the last 4 months that
and the majority of these people coming from Mexico have also overstayed their visas, sir.
The government has reported it's 40% are visas and 60% are Mexicans. CBO has said this will bring American wages down. 49% of the people in this country don't pay any taxes. A Latino working in the White House and advising the president has been on the news recently saying that they will be getting, if they're making less than $20,000, a family of four of these people will get $15,000 in an earned income tax credit, even though they don't pay any taxes because they're not making enough money, like 49% of the people aren't.
Not true. Over $100 billion have been contributed by unauthorized workers in this country to the Social Security Trust Fund. So they are paying taxes.
They're not paying federal income taxes, but yet
they are paying
out
taxes. Over $100 billion have been spent over the have been collected over the last 10 years.
Oh, do you
by
know
the Social Security Trust.
$15 billion was spent on illegals in the
country.
And
that's
year.
Just one example of paying taxes. They're paying taxes in other ways as well. Property taxes, sales taxes, and other taxes as well.
Joanne, thank you for your call. I do appreciate it. Let's go to Michael in Detroit listening to us on WLS. Go ahead.
Great topic. Maybe we should have a compromise and return the California, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, the original owners. Hey, it's holiday season, too. Remember, Joseph and Mary were both illegal immigrants. And Lady Liberty says, give me your tired, your poor, your hungry, your huddled masses yearning to be free without GOP saying, what are
you? Yeah, that's
papers?
What the Statue of Liberty says, but that's not our immigration policy, sir.
Give me your papers. I want to see your papers, say the Tea Party. They don't. You guys don't like people of color, do you? The president's colored. Negro, as you call them, the Mexicans, oh, my God.
No, we just like people to follow the law.
All right.
They don't vote
Marty,
Republican.
Let's move on. Marty in Chicago on listening to us on WLS. Go ahead.
I think it's quite Orwellian that one of your guests continues to call illegal immigrants undocumented immigrants. That's the equivalent of calling a drug dealer an unlicensed pharmacist. It's completely Orwellian. This president cannot be trusted. He's lied. There's not a smidgen of a scandal with the IRS scandal. No boots on the ground in Iraq, etc. He said he's going to deport felons and not families. But during the last government shutdown, he ordered ICE to release tens of thousands of criminal legal aliens into the populace.
That's right.
And
thank you, sir. Thanks for that.
And the Democrats in many of these cities provide sanctuaries for these illegal immigrants and make it nearly impossible for ICE to have criminal detainers
locally.
You've
made your point, sir, but we're running out of time. It's only because we're running out of time. We'll be back with this full panel of guests for another full hour. If you're watching us on television, we'll see you next week. If you're listening to us on radio, another full hour coming up. 1-800-723-8289. I'm Bruce Dumont from Chicago. From Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of room and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, professors, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight featuring commentary by Nick Kacharubas, Michael Puente, Rosanna Polito, and Raul Raimondo. Our program tonight coming from our home base at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago, where our toll-free lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. If you'd like to email us a comment, it's Bruce Dumont at museum.tv. And if you'd like to send us a tweet, it's at Dumo, at D-U-M-O. And if you want to join us on the World Wide Web, it is beyondthebeltway.com. Well, we've been talking about the president's recent executive order on illegal immigration, and we've been talking a little bit about the politics of it. We have lots of callers on the line. We will go to those callers in just a moment, but I want to talk about just the politics of it, because we were talking about whether or not the president was wise in waiting, because by waiting And he waited because there were some Democrats running for the Senate and House that he thought that they thought that by having an executive order, it would have created this huge issue that would have kicked them out of office. Well, the reality is the voters kicked them out of the office. And my question to you, Raul, because there were Senate seats lost in states that have fairly large, influential Hispanic populations. Do you think that two or three Senate seats were lost because the president, dithered on this?
I think the Democratic leaders made a mistake in not allowing the president to issue this executive order earlier. It was never a question of if, it was a question of when. The president was going to do this executive order, but he was stalled by Democratic leaders because they wanted to protect U.S. Senate candidates in Colorado, for example, which they lost, in my opinion, because he did not do the executive order earlier. But be as that may, the Republicans knew that the president was going to issue this executive order and should have been ready for this, and they are not. It's a very simple solution. The House controls, is controlled by Republicans. They can pass a bill. This is not a Democratic issue or Republican issue. This has been a bipartisan issue from the get-go. I always have said that Democrats take the immigrant community for granted and Republicans don't understand the community. Here in Illinois, you have prominent Republicans across the spectrum, regular Republicans, prominent leaders who support comprehensive immigration reform. The former Speaker of the House, Dennis Hassert, supports comprehensive immigration reform. The former Governor Edgar supports comprehensive immigration. Our current Governor-elect Bruce Rauner has said, this is a good start. I support a comprehensive immigration reform.
You're absolutely right. And the voters don't want it. And just like in Oregon right now, where you just saw a liberal Oregon voters voted down driver's license for illegal aliens by 65%. You know what? Rauner, my congressman, Adam Kinzinger, doesn't care at all what I think. They don't care what their voters think in Illinois.
He cares about enough voters because
they
got elected.
It's about the voters. What we want, they represent us.
And Congressman Kinzinger, who supports comprehensive immigration.
That's right. He's
along
a leader in the Republican Party for it. He does not care what his voters think.
For their voters, yes.
Well, but no, but the point is, some of his voters obviously do because they reelected him.
Yes.
I think because there was no, you know, when you looked at the guys who were running, you said, well, I guess he's the better of the two. But
the fact is,
no,
the voters re-elected
over
him
and over and over. We shut down the switchboard. We shut down the switchboards in Washington.
But from a political standpoint, and this is where I think this is where the president's brilliance, I think, showed. And that is he drove a wedge between the Republican Party, because there are many people in the Republican Party, and you just went down a long list, Raul, of Illinois leaders.
Correct.
At the national level as well, of Lindsey Graham and John McCain
and
everyone that voted for the Senate version of comprehensive reform. The list is long.
Correct.
But on the other hand, there's a wing, there's an element of the Republican Party, which is not exclusively the Tea Party, but I think it's probably broader than the Tea Party, who disagree with it. But I think you would acknowledge it was a brilliant wedge issue. He dealt with a wedge issue.
Listen,
and handed it to the
Republicans. Obama understands that, excuse me, that we have an impotent Republican Congress. There's no leadership at all. They don't have a plan. They could care less what the voters think. That is my opinion of all the Republican leaders right now in Illinois and
But if they don't care what the people think, then the people would say that one of the reasons why they did not want to deal with it in this cycle is because Republican members of the House come from districts with very few Hispanics. There's not a lot of popularity for it in Republican congressional districts. So why should they walk the political plank for it? Let the Democrats do it.
Correct.
But the point is, the overall national party looks at it and says, wait a minute, we may win congressional elections. We may win some midterm elections. We are never going to win the presidency if we don't at least lower our voices and come up and be perceived by some Hispanics as at least being open to
Really? Because it worked so well when our Republican Ronald Reagan allowed the amnesty, and that really helped the Republicans, didn't it?
I'll tell you one thing. It helped Ronald Reagan in the second term, and also
he also said it was a mistake.
It also helped George Bush.
Yes,
in
he
Texas.
Did.
It helped George Bush.
I think that you're absolutely right that the president drove this as a wedge issue, particularly pushing for the 2016 elections, because what it does is what are the alternatives? So the Republican House has chosen not to vote on this because, of course, they're going to put it off as long as they have to. By issuing the executive action, what do the Republicans do? They can either, sue him and try to get it overturned in court, which, again, now they lose the Latino vote forever, possibly, or they could pass something as a compromise and say, well, at least we worked together and it wasn't just the president. I think it's a brilliant political move.
One thing that Raul said is that the Republicans had to know this thing was coming down the pipe. And it seems to me that the next day, again, you can say that let's sue him and let's have all this to talk about impeachment. It only plays to the Democratic strength. That is an absolute waste of time. Also, he could have called a press conference the next day and said, okay, we're moving a bill tomorrow that's going to do A, B, and C, which are maybe the three most popular elements of this, and it's going to have a Republican imprimatur on it. They didn't do it.
There's no leadership there.
The Republican Party is sinking quick.
What's being lost in here, Roseanne, is that you're saying that, okay, the American public doesn't want it. Are you saying that the American public doesn't want a solution to a problem? Because even after...
There is not a problem. We have an immigration system right now.
We have
unemployment that is so high. We need to have
a comprehensive immigration package. So there's acknowledgement on both sides that there is an immigration problem. That even after the president signed it, one thing that's being lost on here, yes, it does give protection to up to 5 million undocumented immigrants right now, but it also puts pressure on those who have been here for less than 5 years, people who still may have had American-born children. It puts the onus on them to leave. So there are going to be sacrificial lambs.
Folks, we've got to pause. 1-800-723-8289. Back shortly from Chicago.
Are you headed to Los Angeles? Looking for the ideal place for you and your family to relax and enjoy yourselves? A place that combines a Four Diamond Hotel experience with a convenient location? It's the Hilton Los Angeles Universal City, just steps away from Universal Studios Hollywood, CityWalk, and NBC Studios. Just a short ride to the Hollywood Walk of Fame, TCL Chinese Theater, Warner Brothers, and other popular attractions. Enjoy spacious rooms offering breathtaking views and a world-class Las Vegas-style seafood and prime rib buffet every weekend and holidays. Share family fun and enjoy the oasis of the palm tree-lined pool and whirlpool. Relax in your own private poolside cabana with a cocktail or snack at your fingertips. Book your reservation today at HiltonUniversal.com or call 1-800-774-1500. The Hilton Los Angeles Universal City. At HiltonUniversal.com, they let you be the star in Hollywood.
El Paso, Texas to El Paso, Illinois, the boyhood home of Bishop Fulton J. Sheen. You're listening to Beyond the Beltway, and we're going to go to calls, and it's Aaron Dirick who calls us on WLS. Go ahead, you're on the air. Go ahead. Aaron Dirick, are you there?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry. So my name is Andira, but you can call me Andira.
Okay.
A few years ago, I applied for the Deferred Action for Child Care Rentals, so I'm part of the first wave of people that was able to benefit from one of the President Obama's executive orders. However, my parents are not going to be able to benefit this time around because they have no U.S. citizen-born children. And so just a few things that I wanted to say is that, one, we do get fingerprinted and we pay for it ourselves. So I have just submitted my application to renew my work permit and, again, paid the $465 to do that. And our fingerprints are compared with FBI database, so we aren't criminals, right? And in general, the program has worked very successfully Of the 100 of the 1 million people who look like they're going to qualify, not all of them qualify right away. More than 600,000 have actually applied. I also just wanted to say, like, I think it's kind of interesting that Rosana Bolido's on this radio, since, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center has, you know, put her on a lot of lists of, like, you know, hate groups with FAIR, and so it just, you know,
Numbers USA, Immigration Center for Immigration Studies.
And so making sure that, you know, we have credible sources on this is very important.
Well, let me ask you this question. In your particular case, why do you think a large number of Americans oppose the actions by the president?
You know, I think most polls have shown that people are in favor of immigrants coming out of the shadows of providing a pathway to citizenship. And, you know, this is fairly new, and so I think that people are a little bit uncertain of what it means. And I think that that might be the reason why. But you also, if you look at the polls, it doesn't say that they want to deport us either.
No, but in your particular case, again, looking at what the president has talked about and looking at some of the things that were in the comprehensive immigration reform bill that passed the U.S. Senate that has never been called in the House, you've got to come out of the shadows. We've heard that term. You've got to step forward. In your particular case, you did. You paid $465 to be fingerprinted to find out whether or not you have a criminal background check. There's also issues of paying taxes. There's also issues of going back and waiting in line in Mexico after going back there. And there's also issues in some cases that you have to learn the English language, although you seem to have mastered that fairly well. My question to you is the one I asked at the beginning of this program, and that is how many people – number one, have the ability to pay the $465 that you paid, have the ability to pay the taxes that may be required of them, and also, how does it overcome the fear that they may have that their name is going to go on some list and that maybe the government at some point in the future may come to get them? Because you know what? A lot of Americans don't want to be on lists. A lot of people don't like to register anything with the government because they don't trust the government. And I'm just wondering, these people that are in the shadow, including you've defined yourself as one, described yourself as one. I mean, isn't there a fear to come out of the shadows?
Okay, so I think we live in fear every single day, right? Every single day we could be deported. So nothing beats that fear. Like, nothing beats the fear of thinking that one day the place that you call home, the people that you love, that you may not be able to see them, like absolutely nothing. And like what we've seen in like state legislation, right? Like in Illinois, we passed the driver's license, you know, after the driver's license for undocumented passed, the problem is that there isn't even enough people to make sure that this program is administered to its full potential because people are coming out and are getting on these like, you know, government lists, to get their driver's licenses. So I think the history has shown that people do want to come, you know, and register.
But government in the Illinois driver's license, which you just said, the government, the state government in this case, has not been ready to deal with the administrative success of their legislation.
What the caller is demonstrating from the example of driver's license, from her own personal example, is that people do want to come out and register. They are more fearful about being deported right now than fearing being part of a registered list in which they're getting fingerprinted, where they're going to be now allowed to temporarily work legally in this country. Now, government is a different issue. Yes, government is not ready, but we have to work with government, private, public, to make sure that they are ready and be able to process these many individuals that are coming out of the shadows, and I think they will be. This is not going to cost government money. This is a self-paid program. Congress is ready to defund anything that will cost or added to process these individuals. That is not going to happen. They are ready. They have saved up money. They want to be part of this country.
I just want to say I think it's interesting that the caller brings up the Southern Poverty Law Center, that if you speak against illegal immigration, you are – labeled by them as a hate group. So any group, Numbers USA, wonderful group. FAIR, wonderful group. Center for Immigration Studies. Yes, I'm proud to stand with them. And it's not about, they say it's stop the hate. Really, it's stop the debate, because they label you and then they want to shut you up so you've got nothing else to say about illegal immigration. But the other thing is, I believe if you break the law, you should live in fear.
The Southern poverty law didn't come and said this about you because you are against illegal immigration.
Yes,
because of the things you said about immigrants in more ways than one.
I want to make a comment about, you know, government being ready. I unfortunately, this administration has not had a good track record. We've talked about that a little bit before, of implementing policy. And I don't agree that it isn't going to cost money. The president has proposed additional support in addition to the controversial piece of the action here that we're talking about allowing people to stay. He's also proposed additional border enforcement patrols, and there will be a certain cost and personnel in being able to implement this program. And as you said, Congress hasn't been willing to appropriate. So there are steps that need to be able to do for this to be able to be smooth and to be safely implemented as the president talks about.
Is defunding the way that you think the House is going to go?
I think it's a good possibility.
They're
going
to do something that's punitive.
Yeah. I mean, that makes the most political sense for them, unless members of their caucus are willing to say, you know what, we need to move on this issue
It'll make this country more unsafe by defunding programs right now that ICE needs to continue to implement to prevent terrorists, which is what they should be working on, not, you know, regular folks who are contributing to this economy on a daily basis.
Michelle Bachmann already came out and said that the Republican Party isn't going to do anything. They're backing away. The leadership is backing away.
But do you disagree that it will take more staff and more dollars to actually implement this program?
It'll take more staff and dollars to enforce laws that exist, but this program for the most part will be self-funded through the fees that are being charged, through the taxes that immigrants will pay, through all of the costs.
The 90-day and the 6-month rollout times, are those adequate to be able to deal with all these folks that you're expecting to come out of the shadows?
We don't know. The executive order, let's just make one thing clear. The president has announced the executive order. It is not going, the first application will not be available for another 180 days. That's what I believe, what he has said. Mm-hmm. So this means almost 6 months. Between now and then, Congress has the opportunity, the House Republicans, to pass immigration reform, and the president said, I will tear apart this executive order. That's what we're waiting for. In the absence of that, the president made a bold move to make sure that at least up to 5 million immigrants can come out of the shadows.
And I don't disagree that it was a bold move. I'm just saying that there are pieces to implementing this policy that need to be looked at, and there are
without a doubt, nothing that government does goes flawlessly. I would agree to that. I can agree to that. But there's a lot of work ahead of us, and we in the community are ready to help government, the private sector. And again, it's not just about low-skilled immigrants. Business community is going to benefit from this. They are waiting for this kind of reform initially and eventually full comprehensive immigration reform so that we can get more high-skilled immigrants contribute to this country as well.
Let's go to Stephanie listening to us in Rosemont, Illinois on WLS.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
Hi. I think this is a really great show. I know it's a lot of emotions. And I just want to appreciate if we could just stick to the data and the facts. I think that our economy and jobs are just, you know, too important to just go off of pure emotion. And I really appreciate, you know, the perspective that Raul is bringing to this because we're sticking to that. But I just heard a debate earlier, right? You know, do undocumented American workers take American jobs and depress wages? That was, you know, superheated. Well, you know, I was looking up some data, and according to the conservative think tank, American Action Network, immigration reform would actually create over 6 million new jobs in the U.S. over the next 20 years, including an estimated 100 and over 100,000 new jobs in Illinois per year, right? And I think people were going back and forth about do undocumented actually pay taxes. I think the earlier caller, Erin Deere, showed that, she does and her family do, but actually data from the Social Security Trust Fund says that 75% of undocumented workers pay payroll taxes, and they pay $15 billion each year into Social Security. right? And I think that it's important we stick to these facts that are coming out of government that show undocumented workers pay taxes. And, you know, why don't we just...
Stephanie, we're running out of time. You've made your point. You've obviously done your research, and you put it on the air. Thanks for calling 1-800-723-8029 from coast to coast and border to border. Every Sunday night, it's Beyond the Beltway from Chicago.
Everyone loves vacationing in Florida. So why not experience it as it was meant to be? Where turquoise Gulf waters meet tranquil island beaches. Feel the powder-soft sand between your toes. Revel in a glorious island sunset. Shop the boutiques of a seaside village. Ride horseback along tranquil waters. This is Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key. Real, authentic Florida, where you can discover an intimate downtown and sip cappuccino at a sidewalk cafe. Catch fresh fish for dinner. Even tour a working winery. Just minutes from all the rest Florida has to offer. Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key. Plan your visit online at BradentonGulfIslands.com. That's BradentonGulfIslands.com.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Thank you very much for joining us. Let us have our guests introduce themselves, and we begin with Ray Raimondo.
Raul Raimondo, thank you, Bruce, for having me here. I am the CEO of the Resurrection Project. I co-founded this organization back in 1990. We are a community development organization that's working on multiple issues, from housing to health to financial literacy to immigration issues.
Nick Katcharibas.
Thanks for having me, Bruce. I'm a visiting assistant professor at DePaul University School of Public Service. I've been there for 3 years now, and I'm also a city clerk for City of Crystal Lake in McHenry County, Illinois.
Michael Puente.
Reporter with WBEZ Radio right here in Chicago. Cover a lot of things on the Hoosier side of the state line, but other things like politics, immigration, trends, environment, politics.
Rosanna Polito.
Hi, my name's Rosanna Polito, political activist. My favorite issue is illegal immigration. I was on the border in 2005. One of the original Minutemen testified before Congress with "You Don't Speak for Me," American Hispanics speaking out on illegal immigration.
Let's go to Dan listening to us in Wheatfield, Illinois on WLS. Go ahead, Dan. Thanks for being patient.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I was just going after some of these Hispanic activists who were saying that they're blaming the House of Representatives for not passing the bill. But the reason they didn't pass the bill was because he will not secure the borders. They already said that we will do it in piecemeal. We'll secure the borders first, and then after the governors of the border states say it's secured, they'll go on and move to step two. He will not do that. You can't fix your house if your roof leaks. You want to fix the roof first, and he will not secure the border. And that's going to go on and on and on.
Dan, so let me ask this question, because obviously we could debate the reports and the statistics as released by the administration. Certainly the way that it has been reported is that there has been more money spent on beefing up the border, policing the border, and that the number of crossings has down dramatically. Now, you may disagree with that, but when you say secure the border, there's no president, there is no policy at all that isn't going to stop one person from crossing, maybe 100 people from crossing, maybe 1,000 people from crossing. So when you say seal the border, when you look at the track record of this administration for the last 6 years, he's doing a better job of securing the border than George Bush.
He uses catch and release. You don't put that into that. They grab somebody and they catch and release.
That same policy existed with George Bush.
I agree. And George Bush was no better.
Okay. Well, that's my point. So what I'm saying is that the policy of totally securing the border may be impractical. Maybe that can't be totally secured. Now, Rosanna, you've been there.
At least do something about it.
That's right. It's not an immigration issue. It's a national security issue. End of story.
And if we pass comprehensive immigration reform, we would do better in securing the borders.
Amnesty.
We would do better because it calls for ID cards for those that are here. It calls for fingerprints. It calls for background checks.
Do you hear yourself talking?
Yes, I do.
This is a national security issue. This has nothing to do with immigration. So the national security of the nation is threatened. But with comprehensive immigration reform, it's going to cure everything?
How would you do it?
I don't even know.
How would you do it?
Listen, we can send men to the moon. Where there's a will, there's a way. We're always talking about Syria secure borders, Iran secure borders. We're going, sending people there.
Are you going to militarize the border? Are you
ours?
Going to militarize the entire border?
If we have to.
Are you going to militarize
it? It's a great time to do it
and
with
what
the
would
threat
taxpayers,
of ISIS.
And what would taxpayers say about all the costs for that?
Well, the same they would say in Illinois, $5 billion a year for free services for illegal aliens.
True.
We can
they
put it over there.
They contribute more to this economy and taxes than they receive.
Yeah, our fix.
We move on. Brian in Roselle, Illinois.
Facts,
go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. You know, one of the reasons this is such a hot button issue is because it's very difficult for average working people to find a decent job and a job that pays halfway decent. And yet we look around at our economy and we see Hispanic and Indian and Pakistanis working everywhere for peanuts. And the real phrase, you know, businesses say they can't find workers, but the real phrase should be they can't find workers at the ultra-low wages they wish to pay. And as long as the government's going to turn their back and just let people enter the country illegally and overstay their visas, which is 40% of the problem, right through O'Hare Airport, 40% of them never leave, and they're from Poland and Ireland and everywhere else. So, you know, the whole racial issue is such a waste of time. It's just, I wish people would stick to the economics of immigration. The honest truth is we cannot absorb every immigrant in the world that wants to come to the United States. It's impossible. And for those that want to just not want to consider that fact, you know, they're not being honest. And, you know, I'm an electrician. I see businesses all over the place. I see them top to bottom, front to back. I see every room in their operation. And I see Hispanics and Indians and whatever working in any position that they can plug them into. They're driving the trucks. They're working in the warehouses. They're working in the kitchens. They're doing everything. This whole thing of, well, they're just doing work Americans won't do, that's a lie. It's because businesses have the upper hand. Businesses have bribed government to not enforce immigration laws, let millions in, and then the wages have collapsed in many industries. And that's why we have this huge problem.
Sure. Let me ask an anecdote. This is totally anecdotal. But when I was in California a couple of months ago, I did some shopping in the morning at Home Depot. When I drove into the parking lot, there were no fewer than 40 men, even actually some women, mostly men, standing there with a little sign that said that they were going to work that day. They were all Hispanic. I did not see any Caucasian. I did not see any African-American standing there with a sign that says, I will work. I don't. And you can go outside any Home Depot, Lowe's in the United States, and probably on a Saturday morning, maybe the number isn't 40, but you'll see people, and the vast majority, if not exclusively, the people that are standing there ready to work are Hispanics. They're not the people who are Caucasians who are looking for work. They're not out there. I didn't see them. They're not African Americans. Didn't see them. Now, that doesn't exist one, you know, that they don't exist. I'm talking about what I saw with my own eyes. With my own eyes.
Right.
Now,
because
do you challenge that?
They have no other option.
But the point is they're willing to work. Where are the Caucasians, where are the African Americans who are willing to work, that will stand outside a Home Depot, that have the skill and the desire to work? Where are they? Why aren't they there? They're sleeping in, or they're going to another job, or they've given up work, or they're waiting for some other assistance from the government. but they're not working. These are people that want to work.
Right, Bruce, but if you're just going to let everybody into the country, then you'll have 100 people standing outside Home Depot.
Sir, with all due respect, this question is not about opening the borders and allowing an additional 15, 20 million immigrants. This is about reforming our current system that is broken to assist almost 11 million undocumented individuals that are in this country and allowed for a due process, allowed for regular immigration to take place, not to open up the borders. Nobody's talking about that. Our community is not talking about that. All indications are that the economy will benefit. You, sir, as an electrician, will benefit because there will be more homes to be built, more jobs to be created, and the economy will benefit. With respect to national security, it is a national tragedy, and we are at national security risk by not knowing who 11 million people are that are out there in the shadows. That is more of a national security risk than anything else.
I think it's important to note that the president's policy here will actually help in the sense of these employers, as the caller has mentioned, that maybe are underpaying undocumented citizens or folks, that they'll have to be, as they get authorization to work and legally able to do so, they'll be able to get paid a fair wage, and it will improve the income tax as well.
Which will put pressure on wages to go up for everyone.
But it goes to that point, though, about this whole bringing the undocumented immigrants out of the shadows. We as Americans shouldn't want anybody in any kind of shadow, because when you're in a shadow, bad things happen. You get taken advantage of, both by wages, physical harm, sexual harm. These people need to have at least some kind of avenue to access help wherever they're at. I mean, these are people too.
There is an avenue, though.
What's the
avenue?
There
is. Listen, the United States allows 1 million people to come here and become citizens a year. We're more generous than any nation in the world. 1 million we allow to come in, and we help them become citizens, help them. So that's it. That's what you go through, the million that come through every year. And now you're talking about all these others, since they could not be one of those million, are making their own way. Then you should be in fear. I would be scared to death to go to Canada undocumented.
Okay, here's the thing about your argument. Here's the thing about this. You can talk out of both sides of your mouth, and you've been doing this for the last 2 hours. You want the government to do something, yet you criticize Congress, you criticize the president and the Senate for doing something about this. Isn't it time? Do you not recognize that there is an issue to be dealt with?
We need to enforce immigration laws. That's what the
existing
American public
laws, wants. It's a broken system.
It doesn't allow these people to come in. Again, we allow 1 million people to come here a year.
By both Democrats and Republicans that the system is broke.
So should we spend money to send them out?
We've got to pause. 1-800-723-8029. One more segment. Don't go away.
Are you headed to Los Angeles? Looking for the ideal place for you and your family to relax and enjoy yourselves? A place that combines a Four Diamond Hotel experience with a convenient location? It's the Hilton Los Angeles Universal City, just steps away from Universal Studios Hollywood, CityWalk, and NBC Studios. Just a short ride to the Hollywood Walk of Fame, TCL Chinese Theater, Warner Brothers, and other popular attractions. Enjoy spacious rooms offering breathtaking views and a world-class Las Vegas-style seafood and prime rib buffet every weekend and holidays. Share family fun and enjoy the oasis of the palm tree-lined pool and whirlpool. Relax in your own private poolside cabana with a cocktail or snack at your fingertips. Book your reservation today at HiltonUniversal.com or call 1-800-774-1500. The Hilton Los Angeles Universal City. At HiltonUniversal.com, they let you be the star in Hollywood.
Come on back in Chicago. Thank you very much. Rosanna, you were telling during one of the breaks that you've had a lot of conversations with sheriffs. By the way, you should mention that you ran for Congress once. You were the Republican nominee. You ran for the seat that was once held by Rahm Emanuel, who is now the mayor of the city of Chicago.
Correct.
It was won by Mike Quigley, the Democrat. It's an overwhelmingly Democratic district. But, again, you've talked with sheriffs. You were at a summit with county sheriffs from around the United States recently in Arizona.
Yes, in El Paso. 40 sheriffs from around the nation came to El Paso.
What did they tell you?
Well, we were learning about the dangers with the border, with the drug cartel, with ISIS. There are different experts there, and then we went to go view the border, and it's millions of dollars were paid to Boeing, and there is a half a fence there that can be cut through with, you know, different material. It's really it was a debacle that Boeing built this fence that anybody can get through. But the sheriffs now have just organized. They are going to Washington, D.C. to protest this executive order by the president, and that will be December 10th. They're going to go and let their voices be heard.
And yet there are many other sheriffs who believe that this is a good thing, so it can help law enforcement and protect everyone, particularly as they come out of the shadows, because they will be more cooperative with police if there is a crime and they are now have some kind of legal status.
If you're living in Chicago, and again, this show goes around the country, but if you're living in Chicago and or many other large cities where the political climate is controlled by Democrats – and they are sanctuary cities, how realistic is it that there is this great fear that people who are living in the shadows really have? And what if they do get caught? Is the city political machine going to save them in some way? I mean, the Chicago Police Department doesn't investigate illegal immigrants, do they?
Absolutely not. They can't.
The
Chicago Police Department is not an immigration officer, nor should they be investigating that. They should stick to what they do best, which is fight crime, arrest bad people in Chicago who are committing crimes. If you're an undocumented individual and there's a crime against you, you are probably not going to be able to share your story because of fear. Police needs to work with immigrants who are unauthorized in this country so they can protect everyone.
What the problem is, though, is that the law enforcement is forced to accept the matricula consular as a form of ID. And we know if, Bruce, you give me $40, I'll go get you matricula consular, and you're not Mexican. That's the joke about it. It is the, you know what, the FBI testified before Congress and said that a matricula consular is not.
You got your facts all wrong.
No.
A matricula consular card is an official ID authorized by the country's counseling department.
Tell the FBI who testified before Congress that it is not,
this is not something
a reliable
that you get
form
on the street.
Of ID.
This is not something that you get on the street and you pick up for $40. This is something that is authorized by a country.
Tell the FBI that then.
Well, they've known
the
about
thing
this.
Is saying that an officer should not get involved in immigration issue. Why? Because it's a federal issue? Well, then they should not get involved
Chicago
in bank
Police
robberies
Department.
Because
this is
that's
the
also
Police
a
Department.
Federal
they are not
issue,
immigration
robbing
officers.
A bank.
They are not immigration officers. They are police. They do their best to fight crime and keep us safe.
Bob, in Elgin, Illinois, go ahead. You're on WLS and Coast to Coast.
What is the cost in dollars for an illegal alien to pay the fine in order to become a citizen?
I don't know whether that has been defined as yet. Has it, Raul?
Part of the Senate bill that passed has some costs involved. They have to pay. First of all, it's an arduous task, because if you are eligible, you have to pay a fine. You have to pay back taxes. You have to pay the cost for getting recognized.
We're back up. What is that fine? You got to pay a fine. What is it?
It's at least $1,000 a fine, and minimum, and plus the taxes that they have to pay, plus the application fee they have to pay, and so forth.
Back up. What taxes are you talking about?
Taxes, if under the Senate bill, if they are eligible to apply for legal status, and they have not paid taxes, they need to pay taxes first.
What taxes? Are you talking about income tax?
Income taxes. Yes.
Okay. Okay, why does an illegal have pay income tax anyway?
Because under right now, current law allows undocumented individuals to pay income taxes via what is called the income tax ID number, which is authorized by the federal government to people that will be able to work here.
But when they take the...
And they have paid, over $100 billion into the Social Security
Trust.
Go ahead, Bob.
When they take the W-2 form and they fill out the number of dependents, why do they always have 7 or 8? where the employer doesn't have to take out income tax.
That is not the case with everyone, and if they're falsifying documents, they should not be here.
Okay, well, that's it. Like I say, I've seen this.
I've seen more people legitimately filing taxes, honoring their work, honoring the system, and that's why they need to come out of the shadows, and they want to and be able to pay whatever fine imposed on them.
But you've referenced the Senate bill and the fines in the Senate bill. I did not see those outlined in the president's executive action, and I think that's the piece that I think some folks are Americans are a little bit uneasy about. And so that's I think if the plan were the original Senate bill, and I know we can criticize the Congress for not passing it, I think that's the issue that is controversial here.
They have to pass a background check. They're going to have to pay taxes, even under this
executive
order.
But the president could have chose to have a fine in that executive action.
There is a cost for them to apply for executive
action.
There's
no fine.
There's no fine. But again, it's one of the fine details in this executive order, which is not clear to everyone as yet. It has created quite a storm and obviously controversy and heat and perhaps some light, mostly heat. On both sides of this particular issue. Our thanks this evening to our guests. Raul Raimundo has been with us, along with Michael Puente. And on the other side of our desk, Nick Cacciatoris, and Cacciarubis, rather, and Rosanna Pulido. This program is a Genevieve production produced in association with WLS Talk Radio. Our thanks to Dan Dorfman and Colin Bobbitt for their assistance in the production of this program. Until next Sunday night, this is Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago.